assignment, if you want to call it, of talking to you about the 10 lepers. And some of you have read that story like 100 times, and it might be an old story to you. But I want to try and share some things with you to try and get you to understand the depth of this particular story. Because if you're in Cross Trainers, you know that it's more than a story in the Bible. It's not just a story. We don't read things to just be amused, and it's not something that we look at that we say, you know, this is just very cool. When you think about it, we in America are very ungrateful in general. In fact, what makes somebody grateful, do you think? What makes somebody very happy to be around somebody else and very grateful to be in their presence? What is it that makes you that way? Anyone got an idea? What? Okay, you might be deficient in something. Like, I was always glad to see my mom when I was hungry. Right? Growing up, always glad to see her. Mom, I'm hungry.
Very appreciative.
Very. But after I ate, see you, Mom. Right? I mean, that's just how it goes. I was always glad to see one of my parents when I needed money. But after I got the money, see you. I wasn't that anxious to see him anymore. I was anxious to see a doctor when I needed help. I couldn't, you know, I had a cold or a strep throat or something. I'd like to get rid of it. I really don't like to go to the doctor other than that. Dentist, don't start me. Love them when you got a bad tooth. But, you know, I guess I hang around with a dentist once in a while, so it's not that I don't like seeing him. I just don't want to see him in his office. You see, we Americans are interesting. We have this deserved mentality. People in America believe that if they don't work, somebody else should pay for them to eat. That's what we believe. Somebody should make sure I have heat in my house. And you go to another country, that doesn't happen. Paved roads. A lot of you have paved roads to your house. Go to another country. Most people don't have paved roads to their house. After I got back from Africa and I was traveling down some of these Wisconsin roads, I was looking down trying to figure out how much money it cost to pave roads to these farmhouses that were like a mile down the road. And you look and you can see one house, but it's paved. After I went from one end of Africa, well, not Africa, one end of Uganda to the other and never saw a paved road while I was doing that, and went through four tires and ditches and holes everywhere, I was very glad. When I got back, I was very glad to see paved roads. You know, I don't know the last time you went to a policeman and said, thank you for being a policeman. But when I got back from some of the foreign countries that I went to, I was so glad that we had policemen. Because the policemen over there, you couldn't count on. You had to bribe them. You didn't know anything. You had to give them something for their Christmas fund, whatever that was. I was so glad to see policemen that were supposed to guard and protect. See, but we take that for granted a lot. I don't know if you fly anywhere. Linda and I just flew somewhere and came back, and it's kind of interesting. You know, we're flying somewhere. Get irritated with the people that, you know, are 10 minutes late. And, you know, we're in Utah in the morning, and we're home by supper. And we're irritated with somebody along the way. It's really quite amazing that it even works. But see, in America, we don't live in a way where we're grateful. Today, I don't know, in this community, I'm sure it happened, but at least in Wisconsin it's happened many times. Somebody got some news that changed everything about their lives. And they wish it wasn't that way. You know, I remember when I was younger, I went into the doctor's appointment, and I never came back that week. I stayed right in the hospital. I had to get through an operation. I had to be taken care of right away. And see, everything changed on that day. Everything changed. Got a phone call one day, my dad was dead. Heart attack, just gone. Everything changed on that day. Got a phone call, my mom had a stroke. Everything changed on that day. When things change, you begin to realize what you really had. See, that's the problem sometimes. We don't understand what we have. You know, a lot of times Christians, they like to thank the Lord for their food. But I'll bet you that when you thank the Lord for your food, very seldom are you really thanking Him for your food. Because I'm not sure when the last time is you were that hungry, where you were really thankful for the food. I know it's good to pause and thank, but yeah, the 10 lepers, interesting. It's in Luke 17. And the story's pretty obvious. There's a leprosy picture. I have a leprosy picture up on each one of these. Not because I want to gross you out, but because I want you to see the condition of what leprosy really does. Leprosy in the United States is extremely rare, if at all, here. If it's here, it's come from another country. Leprosy was a terrible disease that would begin at the extremities and move its way in, and usually started with just one little white dot. And as it moved in, you would lose the exterior pieces of your body. They would just fall off. Your ears, nose, tip of your nose, a lot of times, fingers, toes, and it would kill you. It was extremely catchy. It would be one of those things that once you got leprosy, it would be one of those notices that everything about your life has now changed. Because if you got leprosy, here's what you would have to do. First of all, you would know that this is a death sentence. You would know that. There is no way out of it. Secondly, you would be immediately removed from your family, loved ones, and friends. So not only was it a death sentence, but you were immediately taken away from everybody. Immediately. Because it was so catchy that there used to be a law, the Jewish law many years ago, where if you had leprosy and you saw somebody, you were to scream to them, unclean. You were to tell them you were unclean. So it wasn't a very nice thing. Needless to say that there were people that suffered from leprosy, and in Jesus' day it was much, much more common. God in the Bible compares sin to leprosy, which is interesting. See, leprosy slowly but definitively destroys, unless God intervenes, which He did in this story, which is very interesting. Unless God changes the course, death is certain, separation is certain. What's interesting, as I told you, not only is it a death sentence, but it's a separation sentence. You weren't meant to be alone, and although some of you like your alone time, you'd be very terrible if you're the only person on the planet. And what happens, the end result of sin is not only death, separation from God, it's also separation from every other human. Because the eventual thing is a total separation in this place called hell, which is so large and so massive that you are separated from everybody forever. See, leprosy and sin are very similar. The interesting thing is that God is willing to do something about it. And He was willing to save here. He was willing to help. Now, let me read this story to you. It's Luke 17, chapter 17, verse 11. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing among between Samaria and Galilee. As He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Now that was the rule. That wasn't unusual. They couldn't come near Jesus because of this. And lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And they went, and they were cleansed. Interesting. Can you imagine, just imagine their feelings? See, they had a death sentence on them. They were separated. There was no way, there was no possible way for them to be okay. But all of a sudden they were. Just as fast as they got the death sentence, they were cured. Just that fast. And when He saw them, He said, go, show them. And then one of them, when He saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. There's a couple times in the Bible that Samaritans are mentioned. The Good Samaritan, this time. There's a point being made here. Samaritans, according to the Jewish people, were not worth living. They were half Jews and they were half non-Jews, and they were very, very much, the Jewish people were very much against them. But yet it was the Samaritan who came back to the Jewish person and was thankful. Interesting. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? The others were Jewish people. They didn't come back. You know, it's interesting. Jesus is willing to save. He's willing to fix the problem. When you look at America, you look at your life, you look at Antigo, you look at your family, you realize that sin has invaded and is going to destroy unless you allow Jesus to do something about it. That's the way it is. There's no way. You can say, no, I can get away with sin. No, sin will destroy. You can have that little dot of leprosy and think, well, I could function fine. Yeah, but that little dot is going to progress until it destroys. Sin will destroy whatever it touches. It's not something you want to be entertained by. It's not something you want to think is cool. It will destroy what it touches. And the only cure for it is Jesus. That's it. See, and by that I mean by listening to him, by obeying him, see, that's the cure. There is no other cure. And Jesus doesn't care whether you're from Africa or the United States. Do you realize that everybody I met in Africa has the same problem that everybody in the United States has? Oh, it's not money. Money's not the problem. Yeah, but they don't have any money there. I know, they think money's the problem. Because they want your money while you're there. But that's not the problem. The problem is sin. Sin, you know what? Sin causes people around the world to be so full of self. The men around the world abuse women around the world in incredible ways. See, why do they do that? Because they can, and because God hasn't saved them from the sin in their lives. See, there's leprosy, and that leprosy begins to destroy everybody it touches. Everybody leprosy touches. Everyone sin touches. But God is willing. It doesn't matter whether you're in Africa, Asia. It doesn't matter whether you're America, Antigo. Doesn't matter. Jesus is willing to fix what sin destroys. He's willing. But how did it even happen here? Well, these guys had to come and recognize that there was a problem. Before you can get cured of leprosy, you got to realize that you got it. See, if you're running around, you have leprosy, and you don't even know it, what good is that? You can't ask for help right there. Someone else has to point it out to you. You say, no, I don't think so. No, leprosy is devastating, and when you have it, you know it. I love the fact that all people, all background, all problems, Jesus is willing to fix. Now, if you think I mean that he's willing to make it so that there's no effects of sin, no, that's already happened. But he's willing to fix a family. Do you realize that God actually has a plan for a family? That he actually expects guys like me, husbands, to love their wives like Linda? That he expects that? That he actually expects us to care for one another's needs, to take care of the sick, to take care of the needy? We're supposed to do that. See, there's a plan for all this stuff. All we got to do is listen. And God made the plan. See, and Jesus not only was willing, but he has the power to do it. Now, someone could come to you and say, but I'd really like to help you with your leprosy, but they don't have any they can't do it. They don't have the power. They don't have the authority. Or I think of, she's sitting in front of me, so I think of a dentist. You come to me and say, I got a toothache. I'd say, fine, give me a pliers. You don't want that. I don't have the power, the authority, the knowledge, anything. I'll pull it. My brother and I, we used to pull our teeth. When we were kids, we really did. We put a string on there, we put on a doorknob and slammed the door. And it came out 100% of the time when it was loose. You don't want to come to me for that. Why? Because I don't have the right authority. I don't understand really what I'm doing. See, but God does. When we come to him, we say, my life's a mess. My life is ravished with sin. God goes, I know what to do. Believe me, you're going to find all kinds of people that tell you they know what to do. They don't. God knows what to do. If they're listening to God, they would. But if they're not listening to God, they don't know. Their opinion's as good as yours. I can tell you, it's interesting, no matter what your expertise is, if I'm telling you something about how the city workers in Antigo work, and Chad's standing there and goes, that's not how it is, who should you listen to? Probably Chad, right? Because that's where he works. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just looking at his picture in the newspaper standing by a fire hydrant. You know if he's a dog or what? But, see, Jesus had the power to save, the authority to do it. And so when they saw him, they came to him. What's interesting is that there was nothing real fancy. You see, real power doesn't need hype. Someone that has a lot of power doesn't need to come and say, you know, I have authority. Do you know, I have authority. They don't need to do that. If you were to come out to camp, I don't need to walk up to you and say, do you know I have authority? I don't need to do that. Why? Because I don't need to do that. Because I do have authority, and I don't need to do that. See, if you really have authority, you don't need to do that. You know, my parents, when I was younger, when I started to act like I was the one in charge, they had to remind me that they were in charge. But they really didn't have to remind me. I understood that. You see, Jesus does not have to throw his weight around. He's in charge. So when he says to leprosy, you're done. Leprosy is done. No hype, just go show yourself so that, you know, there's a witness and you're okay. Why did they have to show themselves to the priest? Do you think that was because of the priest is healing them? No, because really what happened in their day, and I'm not, you know, I don't even know exactly everything that goes on, but the priest used to have to declare them that they were lepers, they would check them, and then they would be the ones that sent them out. So they needed to be claimed clean again so that they could be around people again. Do you realize what Jesus was doing with them? No hype or anything. By the way, what did they do? They came to God. They recognized they were helpless. And they said, would you have mercy on us? And he said, yes. And they were clean. Now they just had to go and get back into society. So now they could be by people again. That the problem has been solved. The problem surfaced here immediately, the commonness of ingratitude. I mean, think of it, 10%, one person out of 10 understood that they needed to go back and be thankful to Almighty God. One of them realized. So many times, you know, I think we in America don't understand, because the world is so prevalent in our nation, and we are so immersed in the lifestyle of the pagan, that we don't understand what we've been saved from. We think we're missing out on something. See, the leper knew what he was saved from. But I don't think many people put their trust in Christ. I think many of us think that the reason I became a Christian in the first place was just to stay out of hell. That was it. It wasn't. It was so that you could live a life like it was meant to be lived, in relationship with God, which was broken. And what happens is, we have people around us all the time presenting the opposite side, and it immerses us so much, because we're in the middle of it, that we begin to believe what they're saying. You know, what happened here is, 9 of them somehow got real busy being real excited about the fact that they weren't lepers anymore, and they forgot why they weren't. And that happens to Christians all the time. You know, we may forget why we don't do certain things. Why things are the way they are in our lives. Why my kids grew up never saw their dad beat on their mom or throw stuff. See, there's a reason why they saw that. See, because believe me, I'm an old football hockey player. I don't mind throwing a punch. But I never have. Why? Because, see, God did a work in my life. That's why. And when we start forgetting that, we forget how devastating. Do you know how devastating sin still is? Do you realize that there are little boys and girls today that have nowhere to go for help, and they're on the streets, and people take them and use them for slaves and sex slaves, all kinds of stuff? They will use them. They'll abuse. They don't care. Do you realize that there are people that murder each other just because they want their money or something they have? They don't care. See, sin. I've actually went and spoke several times down in the prison in Oshkosh. There's never a lack for an audience. People have done things that are just terrible to one another. That's what sin does. You've seen it. You know, whenever I describe the life the way God wants it, it's amazing. He actually wants us to make disciples, followers of him. He wants us to help each other be the best that we can be. He wants us to obey him so that we can live the life that we were meant to have. In families, he wants families to actually love each other, care each other, be a nurturing place. If I describe everything to you in the Bible that God wants, you'd be going, that's what I want, that's what I want, that's what I want. See, we forget what God has done. And Satan starts showing up and showing us things, and we think we're missing out. You're not missing out when you don't have leprosy, believe me. Why is there ingratitude? Well, some have underestimated the service that was rendered them. Some just don't realize how powerful it was to be free from sin. Leprosy is easy to see. But those of us that have had Christ as our Savior, put our trust in him, we don't realize what a tremendous miracle it is now to be freed from that very penalty of sin. See, we don't understand that. Now, maybe down the road we will. Maybe down the road these nine will go, I didn't go back and thank them. You know, maybe they will. Bible doesn't say that. We don't know. But we underestimate the service. We underestimate God's role. We underestimate the fact that somehow God, in his grace, had you put in a position where you would be here at a club like this, where you would be around where the Bible is taught. See, for some reason, you get to hear this. And we think it's accidental or something, but it's not. See, so we underestimate God's role in what's happened. We often sometimes have a disposition, whether voluntary or not, that we lose sight of our benefactors. Some people are just less grateful. Why? Well, the only reason you're less grateful is because you're more self-centered. And what you do is expect the world, the universe, to revolve around you. And so as long as it does, you're okay. And so some of us just are not grateful at all in any manner. And if you're not, if you have gone through 24 hours and you have not just at one time said, thank you, God, for the life I have, thank you for the health I have, or you haven't been thankful for the relationship you have, you need to back up a little bit and try and figure out, why is it you're not grateful? Because it could change by the time you get home tonight. And then you know what? You'll wish it didn't, and now you think, boy, it was so good this way. Some of us just don't have a disposition for it. The notion that it does not matter much to him, whether we acknowledge him or not. Some people think that it doesn't matter to God whether we're thankful to him or not. You know what? I've had the privilege of helping many, many young people through the years, and you know what, I don't want them necessarily to come back and say thank you, but when they do, I'm touched. I am, I'm genuinely touched. At the end of a summer, usually there's very few children, campers, that come back and say thank you. Very few. When they do, I always remember it. Like, that was unusual. Imagine that, we serve thousands of kids, and if a kid comes and says thank you for providing camp, thank you for... To me, that sticks out very odd. Why? Because it hardly ever happens. Interesting. Some observations for you. Yeah, the number of those who pray is greater than the number of those who praise. The reason is, simply, is when you pray, normally, it's because something's not working for you. It's like, Mom, I'm hungry. It's that attitude. When I praise, it's later on in the evening, I'm satisfied with everything, everything's fine, and I say, Mom, I'm glad you're my mom. Thank you for taking care of me. That's different. See, one is immature, self-centered. Prayer oftentimes, by the way, you won't hear this much, but prayer oftentimes is immature and self-centered. It's saying, God, gimme, 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 gimme. And that's not what prayer is. And this lesson is not prayer, so we're not going there. Praise is when we start acknowledging God as who he is. And we thank him for it. Prayer is the easy part for a lot of us in that sense. Because we're hungry, I need God. Praise is something we don't do well. Prayer is not so heavenly an exercise as praise. Prayer is for time, but praise is for eternity. In other words, right now is a time for you to pray, because we're not with God right now. We need to talk and talk to him about the sin. One day, those of you that are believers who have their trust in Jesus, one day, see, the sin thing's going to be over. The leprosy is going to be cured. And all of the problems associated with it will be gone as well. There will only be praise at that point. There will no longer be prayer at that point. There will be praise. Now, I understand that if you wanted to talk about prayer as being just talking with God, possibly there'll still be prayer. But as far as talking about the request to make something happen, no, in eternity, there will be praise. Because things will happen and they will be right. And you will not need to ask for health or nourishment or the sun to come up or whatever. Because it's all going to be done. It's a whole different world. You need to get in the habit of being thankful. You'll all do it differently. Some of you are Swedish like myself and you're just, you know, flatlined. That's okay. Some of you are Italian, you're going to roll on the ground and praise God that way. Go ahead. You're going to praise God in different ways. But the idea is to be able to thank God. There are more that believe than there are those that praise. In other words, there's many more people who believe in God, believe in prayer, but they don't praise. In other words, when I'm saying praise, I'm saying just being genuinely thankful to God. Being thankful that you're his child, being thankful what he saved you from. You know, most of us are not really thankful because we're not really convinced that we're that bad. If you really knew you were depraved, and you really knew what God did, then you'd be very thankful. And it's really hard if you grew up in a good home, and you did nice things all your life, and you just don't realize. And one of the signals that you're in trouble is that you're just not really one who is excited about praising God and thanking him. And you've never been convinced of your own depravity, and it's like never really knowing you had leprosy and that you were cured of it. You know, in a me-focused world, when we pray more than we praise, real healing comes when we prayer and praise go together. You know, when someone wants to be truly healed, not just physically, but in every way, they pray, and the praise continues. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, see, be worthy to you, O God. Let them be things. When you begin to realize what you've been saved from, when you begin to realize the difference in life that you can enjoy now, praise is the byproduct of it. So, a couple of practical applications. I don't know if you're all even believers, but I tell you, everybody in this room is suffering from leprosy or sin. And Jesus is the only one that can cure that. He's the only one that can fix the problem of sin. And we do that by coming to him saying, I am sinful, and we say, sinful, sinful, like these guys did, leprosy, leprosy, you know. And God says, I can cure that, and we let him. Secondly, there's those that are, those who have put their trust in Christ, they've understood they've been sinful, but really your heart is not grateful to God. You're not one who praises God. You're kind of looking at this sinful world out there thinking you're missing out. God's going, you're not missing out. It's like looking at lepers thinking, you know, the lepers are having a hopscotch game. I'm missing out. No, not really. The hopscotch game might be fun, but if you go join them, you got leprosy. So don't go join them. See, we look at things wishing we had it because it looks fun for the moment. We don't realize how serious this leprosy or this sin thing is. And then when we do realize it finally, we're thankful. We're thankful to God. But not just once. We're thankful over and over and over and over again because we understand we have. You know, you can go read the story in Luke chapter 17 and enjoy it. I think God told us that for a very specific reason. I think it mirrors probably what happens in real life. Probably 10% of the people who are believers, who are Christians, are actually thankful and actually come back and enjoy just being with God. This guy that came back, one of the cool things was, at first he was at a distance. The next time he was at his feet. Why? Because he was healed. The priest, he must have presented himself, and the priest told him, you can go by people now. And the first one he went back to was Jesus. the rest of them, you know, I'd probably be like the rest of them. I don't know. They might have went to their wives or their whatever. I don't know where they went. But he went back to Jesus and boom, right at his feet. Because now he could get close to him. And he was thankful. Even though he's a Samaritan going to a Jew. Hope this makes sense. Take some time and think about it. Your verse says, you know, you're transformed by the renewal of your mind, which means you spend some time thinking about it. Spend some time thinking about what God has done and what he offers you. And if you don't think he's offered you much, then you don't know what he offers you. Because leprosy will destroy you. Sin will destroy you, I promise. But God can cure that. And then a thankful heart the rest of your life for that. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you that we can meet tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this illustration of the Bible. I pray that your word will permeate our hearts and allow us to understand more of your love and your mercy and your desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you need to connect from back there again?
No.
Okay.
All right, ladies. You know which small group you want to write?